Well, as you know, on Sunday we celebrated the solemnity, our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the Universe. I love that title, our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. And part of the reason I've come to love the title so much is I understand more about why Pope Pius XI, who in 1925 promulgated this solemnity, why it is so important. As I'd mentioned in my homily on the weekend, think of 1925. The World War had just ended a few years earlier. The rise of atheistic communism and what became known as the Soviet Union. Forms of manipulative and destructive capitalism were taking over parts of the Western world, and particularly Europe. And it's in that context that Pius XI said, "We need a feast like this. Jesus Christ, our Lord, King of the Universe." And all this week, we have been having readings from the scripture that highlight different dimensions of this amazing solemnity. And today, the focus is on this very truth, that until Jesus Christ comes again, those who are his followers will be persecuted. They will suffer even to the point of death. And as we marked last Wednesday, when we had that day where we thought about the persecuted church, since the beginning of the Christian era, 70 million Christians have been killed for their faith. 70 million. And in the 20th century, half of that number met their martyrdom. So why is it that this kind of thing happens? Because as the scriptures so clearly articulate, there are two kingdoms. There are two kingdoms vying for our attention, vying for our following them. If you know Handel's Messiah, you'll know in the Hallelujah chorus, there is this wonderful phrase, "The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah." That is the biblical truth, that every earthly kingdom, regardless of how powerful it seems to be, will become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, those who in this life adhere to his kingdom will face opposition, ridicule, scorn, and even death at the hand of those who govern the kingdoms of this world. In that first reading from Daniel, we have this remarkable text that speaks about Belshazzar, who is the son of King Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, if you were at Mass yesterday, we had Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and Daniel interprets that dream. It's a remarkable dream and its interpretation, where Daniel is able to anticipate the rule, not only of the Babylonians, but the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans, and how during the time of Roman rule, one will come with a hand that will shatter that kingdom. And of course, this is anticipating the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, today we have another one of these remarkable texts where Belshazzar has gathered together in opulence his popularity with over 1,000 of his lords. And what makes this such a striking passage is the text tells us they drank the wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. If you look back to yesterday's passage, and there's that great statue that is representative of Nebuchadnezzar and those who will come after, that statue is made of these very materials, gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. But what these materials represent are the central values of the kingdom of this world. The deification of material goods and the marginalizing at best, or blasphemy at worst, of the true and living God. For we're told that as Belshazzar had too much to drink, I went to the Grey Cup on Sunday and I experienced something similar, many, many people having too much to drink. Now, they weren't using the goblets or the things from the Jerusalem temple to worship their gods, but you could see how unruly people get when they've had too much and that team from Winnipeg wins the cup. But there's something similar, and it sort of struck me. It was great to be at the game, but I said, oh, how sort of senseless this all is. you know, why not just enjoy the game? Why do you have to drink so much in order to somehow feel at home? And the reason I just mentioned this is it's just always the reality in this world. The kingdoms of this world are always looking for those ways to get a sense of life being meaningful and purposeful, of somehow establishing ourselves and feeling confident. But as we read in that passage from Daniel, that very night, a hand comes and writes, and Belshazzar, who seemed to have the world in his grip, he's told that tonight, your kingdom will be given to the Medes and the Persians. And indeed, although it's not written in the text that we heard this morning, the very next passage speaks about how that very night, Belshazzar was assassinated. Daniel understands something fundamental, something that we read about in Psalm 49 that goes like this. So don't be impressed with those who get rich and pile up fame and fortune. They can't take it with them. Fame and fortune all get left behind. Just when people think they've arrived and folks praise them because they've made good, then they enter the family burial plot where they'll never see the sunshine again. We aren't immortal. We don't last long. Like our dogs, we age and we weaken and we die. That's why we need our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. Because it's only in light of him and his kingdom that any of this makes sense. The message of Daniel is a message that is so pertinent to our day. For there are so many today who invest their lives on the very things that Belshazzar thought were going to last forever. But as we enter to the end of the Christian year, as we anticipate the coming of Advent, as Christians, allow yourself to be weird. Allow yourself to be peculiar. Don't fit in. Don't fit in. Because you see, we are those who, by grace of our baptism and our Catholic faith, have been gifted with a perspective that is able to look beyond the counterfeit values of this world to the true and lasting values of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. May we, like Daniel, hold fast to Jesus, whose kingdom will never end amidst the world that we are living in, that it is fading away.